Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 through Genesis 2:3. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. This is God's Word. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. Then God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters, separating water from water.' So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. Evening came, and then morning, the second day. Then God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds.' And it was so. The earth produced vegetation, seed-bearing plants according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth.' And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and then morning, the fourth day. Then God said, 'Let the water swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky.' So God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves and swarms in the water, according to their kinds. He also created every winged creature according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, 'Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' Evening came, and then morning, the fifth day. Then God said, 'Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds.' And it was so. God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all he had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There is a controversy among believers about what this means and whether we're to take it seriously. I can assure you we are to take it seriously. As we said at the outset, this is God's word. God has revealed himself to us. Now, how many of you were around when God created the heavens and the earth? I know I'm old, but you realize I'm not that old, okay? The sun and the moon have been here longer than Pastor Wood. And in fact, that is a lesson that Job had to learn. Now, Job knew, as you and I know, that we weren't there at creation. But when Job was trying to understand things and trying to parse it out and trying to demand a right to speak to God about his present circumstances, God asked him, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? It's worth remembering that there will always be things that we don't understand. There will always be things we don't know, because in the great span of history, you and I are a little tiny dot, okay? If we live to be 120 years old, in the span of history, it will be a little tiny dot. And so what really matters is that during this short life we have, we are rightly related to the Creator of all things so that we can spend eternity with him. If you want to know what is the main point for today as we undertake this study of the book of Genesis, it is this. God created the universe. He created the planet. He created the laws of nature. He created matter and space and time. God created the universe. That means there isn't anything anywhere on this planet or out in space that doesn't owe its very existence to God, the creator of all things. Okay? God created the universe. There is a second part of today's main point. It is a consequence of that first part. You are not an accident. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not an accident. You see, suddenly this philosophical statement about God creating the universe, which by the way isn't just philosophical, it's historical. But the fact that God created the universe becomes very personal. Because you're part of the universe. And you're not an accident, because God didn't, as the deists suggested, simply make things and then walk away. The Bible tells us that God is still, in an ongoing way, involved with his creation. And one of the beautiful places where we read that is in Psalm 139. Verses 13 and 14 include these phrases. You created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. God made you. In this book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, which is what Genesis means, in this book that explains our beginnings, we learn that God made us, and there is a phrase that was used over and over in this chapter, and that is God saw that it was good. God made things beautiful. He made things good. It was all good. It's not all good now. Now we've got St. Jude's Hospital treating kids with cancer. Now we've got car crashes, maiming people, killing people. Now we've got murder, robbery, all kinds of evil things in this world, war, earthquakes, famine. I mean, look around at the creation. It doesn't look as good as we'd like it to be. How did it get that way? Genesis is going to talk with us about that. God's going to tell us about our history and how things got off track. Why there's a mess. Let me tell you. All of us are implicated. All of us are part of the problem. We didn't cause all the problems, but we inherited a bunch of problems and demonstrated that we are just like the people from whom we inherited those problems. We've all messed up. But there was a first couple. And there was a first sin in the garden. More about that is coming. More about God's plan of redemption. And how from the very start, when humans messed up, God provided a sacrifice for sin. All of that is laid out in the book of Genesis. God had a plan before he made the planet. He always sees what's coming, just like he knows what you're going to say before you say it. God knew what Adam and Eve were going to do before they did it. God gave man the capacity for choice, but God knew what was coming. And he wrote a story that is unrivaled, unmatched. And it is a beautiful revelation of his nature, his love, his grace, his sovereignty. And we will see that as we study this book. But, I mean, is it really possible in this day and age when we know so much scientifically, is it really possible for anyone to seriously believe that God somehow created all of this in just a short span of time? Genesis 1 describes this as if it happened in a week. Do you really think, looking around at these ancient, ancient mountains right here in the Smokies, do you really believe, seriously, that God created all of that in 1 week's time? I wouldn't have any problem with the idea that God created it in 6 nanoseconds. Okay? Now, if you told me you did this with a bulldozer, I'm not going to believe you. Okay? Because if you had a million years with a bulldozer, you couldn't do this. But I'll tell you, for a God who has all power and all wisdom, who spoke the universe into being, the time thing is just not a consideration. Okay? Well, but these things have the appearance of great age.
Yeah, well, so did Adam. You think when God made Adam out of the dust of the ground that Adam lay there and went, meh. No, God made him as a fully formed man. And when God made Eve, Adam didn't say, oh, she's adorable. Okay? God made Eve as a fully formed woman. It is not hard for God to make something that has the appearance of age. God made us wondrously. And all of this came about because God, with nobody else's plan, just working off his own, designed everything. And so the macaw and the gecko and the German shepherd and even the Pekingese are all part of his design. God loves variety. God built the capacity for adaptation into the creatures that he made, whether human or whether the other creatures that he made. God designed the universe. God designed people. God designed you. He put you together in your mother's womb. That is a good thing to know. That's an important thing to know. That is something that gives our lives a sense of meaning and purpose. And it's true. It's not just a happy myth. It is the obvious conclusion of anybody who studies science without hostility toward God. The only reason anybody would be a scientist and not believe in God is because they're ignoring the evidence. They would never believe about anything else what some of them claim to believe about science. Now, you say, well, that's not really fair. They were brainwashed. Yeah, but how gullible do you have to be? That's why I appreciate scientists who went to schools where they were taught that there is no God and that it was all an accident and that you're just a result of random chance and time. And they began looking at the evidence and they thought, that's nuts. That's crazy. Don't ignore the evidence. Okay? Question, study, explore, read, learn, pay attention. Because if you do, you will not be able to outrun the truth. God made the universe. Now, he didn't just make it. He made it with a purpose. He made it to reflect his glory. There were 3 days that God describes as being like little kingdoms. And then 3 days when God describes the rulers of those kingdoms. Day one, God made day and night. Day two, God made water and sky. Day three, God made land and sea and plants. Day four, God made a ruler for the day and the night. 2 great light bearers. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon to rule the night. And he also made the stars, it says. What did he make to rule the water and the sky? Well, he made the sea creatures to rule the water, and he made the birds to rule the sky. Who rules the land and the sea? Well, the animals. And then something special. God made man and put him over the birds, over the animals. We get to be the viceroy. Who are we under? God. What are we over? His creation. God put man as the ruler over creation to glorify him, to look like him, to reflect his glory. And you know what we did with it? We absolutely blew it. And that's the story that's going to be told here. That is the explanation as to why things are now out of joint. Why are we in the mess we're in? Why is there all this evil in the world? Because we embraced it. Say, I wasn't even there. Yeah, but you do the same thing today. In our world, we choose to do wrong. We know we ought to do this, but we say, golly, that looks good. I wonder if it would really hurt anything. That's why we need a redeemer. Right here in this book, God's going to promise a redeemer. The seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. That's God's promise. And you know what? He did it. He did it. He did it. Jesus is in this book in Genesis. And we're going to see that as we study it together.
Okay, well, Pastor, I just want to be clear then. You're saying that you do believe definitely that the earth is about 6,000 years old and that,
I don't know.
Well, if you read the Begats and you go by the six 24-hour days of creation, it's pretty clear it's a very, very young earth. And
I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with that, but I'm not sure about it. Well, how can you not be sure? Because the text doesn't necessarily say that. Well, yes, it does. You just read it to us. Yeah, I did. But let me tell you something. Briefly, if you come to my house and you hear the new kettle we got for Christmas whistling on the stove, and you say, why is the kettle whistling? And I say, well, we have propane here at the house. It's piped in and comes up through little tiny ports around the burner, and it's electronically ignited and bursts into flame using the oxygen there in the room. And it sends heat up through the bottom of the kettle where Brownian motion ensues inside the water in the kettle. And gradually, as the molecules of the water become more excited, they transfer from a liquid state to a gaseous state. Pressure builds inside the kettle until finally the steam begins to escape through a small opening in the spout, which has been designed by the kettle's maker in order to produce a split column of steam coming out. Our ears interpret that emission as a whistling sound. Okay? Amazing, isn't it? That would be true. That would be true. But that may not be the answer you were looking for. If you say, why is the kettle whistling? My wife would say, well, we're going to make tea and cocoa. Would you like some? Okay? I'm indebted to Dr. J. Edwin Orr, the late J. Edwin Orr, for that illustration. I just want to point out that one has to do with the specifics scientifically. The other has to do with meaning and purpose. Okay? And I would submit to you that the main point of Genesis 1 is not just that God created the universe, but that he did it with a design and a purpose. Because if you want to argue over how old the planet is, you're going to miss your purpose in all likelihood. You need to know that God made you to reflect his glory, and that you will never, ever be able to do that apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you believe that a person could be saved and believe in an old earth? Yes. I believe that a person could be saved and not know the details about creation. But you cannot be saved and not know Jesus. He's the only one who saves. So are you taking a firm position one way or the other? Yes. Here's my firm position. God created everything. You are not an accident. He has a plan, a purpose for your life. You need to know him in order to reflect his glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.